How many of us have heard some of these? A stitch in time saves nine. Penny saved is a penny earned. Rolling stone gathers no moss. And those could go on and on and on. Those are some modern day proverbs. But proverbs is a very old way of teaching certain principles and certain thoughts, certain ideas. On Sunday evenings for the past several weeks, we've been looking at the book of Proverbs. And in particular, we've looked at the first several chapters, different chapters up through 9. In those, we see what the value of wisdom is, the nature of wisdom, contrast between being wise and being foolish. This morning, I wanted to bring a lesson from Proverbs. So if you've not been coming on Sunday evening for whatever reason, you will get at least a taste of what we've been doing on Sunday evening. I think the Sunday evening service is very important. I think we can learn a lot from the lessons and from the fellowship, from the worship. And so that's why I wanted to bring this lesson this morning to you. These are the type of lessons we've been having on Sunday evening. This morning we're going to look at one particular chapter, and that's Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. This chapter in Proverbs is one where two thoughts are kind of contrasted. The wise way of doing something and the foolish way of doing something. And that's how most all the verses in this chapter are put together. And it's a good way of learning. We often do that in school. We'll compare and contrast two different ideas. Well, that's what is done here by Solomon. He's comparing and contrasting wisdom and foolishness. And of course, it is wisdom in God's eyes, and that's the most important wisdom to have. These sayings in Proverbs 10 are kind of maybe not united in one theme, because in this chapter he hits on lots of different principles. But every single one of them are worth our attention. Proverbs chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, gives us a profound thought that all parents and children need to listen to. He says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother." How would we say that today? How would we say that today? What a son does, what a child does, affects his parents. That's true. What a child does affects the parents. And every parent in here is saying amen on the inside. I know that for a fact. Because I'm saying it on the inside. It does. Every child needs to remember that their behavior affects their parents. And so Solomon is instructing people, is instructing children, remember children, your behavior, what you do, what you don't do, what you say, what you don't say, affects your parents. A wise son, the one that listens to instruction, likes being given in this, like that has been given in this book, that wise son follows that advice, follows those instructions. The foolish one does not. And so the wise one, the wise son, will make his parents happy, will make his parents glad. But one that does not will bring grief. Again, parents are saying amen. I know the grief, but I know the gladness. Hopefully there's more gladness than grief. But that's the advice he's saying here. That's the principle. In general, the child who listens to that instruction will turn out to be a child that makes a good citizen, makes a good parent, makes a good employee, makes a good child of God, makes one that God finds favor with. And of course, that thought is brought out throughout the Bible, but it's certainly one that's worthy of our attention. Number two, verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Boy, is that ever true. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. We of course, you know, live in a society where at times it seems that the treasures, what people get from living a wicked life, whether it's people who embezzle, people who steal, people who sell drugs, on and on and on, seem to profit. But as he says here, that's only seeming. They only seem to profit. Ultimately, there's no profit in it at all, only destruction. But righteousness delivers a person from death. Right living, even if the person doesn't have great riches, right living, doing what's right, delivers someone from death. It delivers someone from death physically in the sense that a righteous person avoids all kinds of problems, all kinds of things that can come up that can hurt a person. See, a righteous person is not going to drink, so they're going to avoid becoming an alcoholic. They're going to avoid liver problems. They're going to avoid on and on. And so a righteous person will simply, by the life that they choose, avoid many things that causes physical death. But of course, ultimately, a righteous person will be delivered from eternal death. And that's the greatest lesson from verse 2. Wickedness, the treasures, profit absolutely nothing. So even when we see the wicked prosper, we know it's temporary, and we know they are prospering in ways that will not deliver them from death. So we should never, as God's people, envy or be jealous of the treasures of wickedness. Never. And great advice. The Lord will not allow, verse 3, the righteous soul to famish, but He cast away the desire of the wicked. God provides all that we need if, like Matthew 6:33 says, we follow righteousness, we seek first the kingdom of God, those things will be provided for us. No, we're not going to be rich or wealthy from that at all. In Psalms 37, verse 25, the psalmist writes, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The main emphasis, though, I think, in this is that the righteous person has all he needs to get to heaven. All he needs is provided for him. Everything is there. Verse 4 gives us some great, verses 4 and 5 gives us some great advice about work. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. He tells us here the necessity of diligent labor. Laziness is going to bring about a terrible life. Laziness will bring about poverty. Laziness will bring about a very poor life. But the one who's diligent in labor, the one who is not lazy, the one who does work, will not be impoverished. So here we have an admonition to make sure we're not lazy, but that we do put forth diligence in our work and that we do our very best, because that's what God says we need to do. We won't be made poor if we put forth our best, if we diligently labor, if we work hard at whatever it is we're doing. He who has a slack hand, he who is slothful, he who is lazy, he who doesn't put forth any effort becomes poor. Because what? We're supposed to gather in summer. In other words, gather while it's there. Opportunities to work. Opportunities to labor. Because if you sleep in harvest, you will gain nothing. There is a time that we need to work. Because there's coming a time when we won't be able to. So work while you can. Work and labor while you have the health, the opportunities, the resources, the abilities to work. Because God says laziness, slothfulness is going to lead to poverty. It's going to lead to shame. So there's a tremendous emphasis throughout the Bible, not just here in the Old and New Testament, for God's people not to be lazy, not to be slothful, but to be diligent and to work and to labor. One of the things, one of the reasons we do that, the Bible says, is to help other people. Verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. You notice what he said? Blessings are on the head of the righteous. Those who decide to do what's right. Those who decide to do what's right, God says you will be blessed. Look at the blessings alone that are given in the book of Revelation. Blessings to those people who do what is right. But he says, what's going to happen? Violence will come to the mouth of the wicked. And how often do we realize that happens? Over and over and over. That's what happens to the wicked. He says, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Can you think about someone who's no longer living, that lived a righteous life? And you go back and think about their life and how it helps you, how it makes you feel. I can think of so many. I mean, some that I worshipped with here, or some that I worshipped with at Lone Star or different places that I can think of that led a righteous life. And that brings back good memories. Unfortunately, there are people who's on the flip side of that. As he mentions here, the name of the wicked will rot, will be held in contempt, will be disliked. And there are some people I can think of that I don't try to think about them, but if they pop into my head, I hold them in contempt for what they've done. They didn't live a righteous life. They lived a wicked, sinful, evil life. And so their memory is a contemptible one. It's an evil one. It's a shameful one because of how they lived. They didn't do what was right. They didn't choose the right path. They didn't choose to do the right thing. And so their memory is held in contempt. I mean, we can think about famous figures in history, but we can also think about people we have known personally. Who chose those wrong paths, and because of that, your memory of them is not good. So he says, if you want people to have good memories of you, then live a righteous life. Verse 8, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. Wise people receive and act upon good advice, good instruction. But how many times do we or people we know, they're given good advice, good instructions, and they totally ignore it? The Bible says it's only the wise in heart who receive commands. The one who turns away from it is going to fail. And they will. They will fail. We're to walk with integrity. If you walk with integrity, he says you walk securely. You walk uprightly. But there are some people who pervert their ways. God's people are to walk with integrity. you walk with integrity, that means you do the right thing, whether anybody's watching. You're just going to do the right thing. You're going to be honest, and you're going to do what God wants you to do. That's walking with integrity. Someone who winks with the eye. Someone who is doing one of two things. Either overlooking something evil, or sometimes when people wink their eye, what are they doing? Being dishonest. And that very well could be what he is talking about in this time. Well, he goes on and says, hatred, and we certainly know this, hatred does what? Hatred stirs up strife. But love covers all sins. Hatred stirs up strife. And boy, is that ever the truth. Stirs up strife. But what does love do? He says love covers all sins. Not covers up all sins. That's not what it says. Love covers all sins. That goes back to the idea in the law of Moses about atonement. But covering up in the sense of not overlooking and just saying it's not there, but realizing that God takes care of that. He forgives. So love forgives. Love forgives. And so love covers all sins. Doesn't cover them up. See, that's what the guy that winks does. The guy that winks covers up sins. But the Bible says God sees all sins. So trying to cover them up does absolutely no good. See, that's what the foolish people do. The foolish people try to cover up sins. They think God will overlook sins. But of course we know that He doesn't. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. But a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. How often do we see that in our world? The wise person is going to be the one who listens, who responds to advice, who responds to good instruction. But the unwise, the foolish person has to have it beaten into them. That's what he's talking about. That's the contrast here. It has to be beaten into them. But see, if you're wise, you're not going to have the truth beaten into you. You're going to listen, and you're going to know that what you're hearing is right, and it's good, and it's the good advice, and you're going to act on it. What do wise people do? Verse 14, they store up knowledge. But the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. What do wise people do? Well, they try and become wiser, for one thing. They store up knowledge. But that's not what a foolish man does. Foolish man's mouth is always near being destroyed. And think about how often that happens with foolish people saying things. It's better to do what? Keep your mouth shut. That's what he's saying. Learn when to talk, when not to. Learn when to speak up, learn when to be quiet. The wise man knows the difference. The foolish man doesn't. The foolish man will talk when he should be quiet, when he shouldn't be saying anything. Now he talks about the wealth. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Now, that sounds wrong. That just sounds wrong. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. What does the rich man rely on? His wealth. And what can the wealth do? Look in our society. Wealth can provide you with certain types of protection. It can provide you with certain types of benefits. It can provide you with a number of things. But that wealth is not what is going to provide you with eternal life. It's not what's important. The poor often don't have those things. But those things aren't important either. They're not. And quite often, God's people are not the wealthiest, not the richest, at least as far as the world considers it. We are rich in what counts and what matters. He goes back to the idea of labor. He says, the labor of the righteous leads to life, but the wages of the wicked lead to sin. We could sum that up with a New Testament parallel. We reap what we sow. That's really what he's saying. We reap what we sow. We may not think so. We may think that we can sow sin and get by with it. The Bible says no. You're going to reap what you sow eventually. And the flip side of that is true as well. We're going to reap all the good that we do. It may not be apparent, even in our lifetime. You know, there's certain types of trees, if I remember right, those people who plant olive trees very rarely live long enough to see the fruit of them, because it takes a long time for them to grow. So the reaping they do is afterward. But that's good. So you may not see the results of the good today or tomorrow or next month, but there's good that's going to come from it. Because if you sow good, that's what you're going to reap is good. But if you sow evil, you're going to reap evil. That's what he says. You're going to reap evil. And he says those people are the ones who refuse correction, who refuse it. And there's so many people exactly like that. They refuse instruction. The Bible instructs us as to what we need to do, how we need to live. Think about all these proverbs. And if you would go through and like put them in topics, like here are proverbs that deal with working. Here are proverbs that deal with home life. Here are proverbs that deal with your neighbor. Here's proverbs that deal with honesty. And if you put those in topics and you read those, it tells you how to live. It tells you how to respond. It tells you what to do when certain circumstances come up. It tells you how to be a good neighbor. It tells you how to be a good employee. It tells you how to be a good citizen. It tells you how to be a good parent. It tells you how to be a good child. But none of it matters unless you, as the verse says, keep instruction. You know, it doesn't do us any good to read God's Word and know what it says unless we use it. Knowledge alone doesn't benefit. It's only knowledge applied. It's only knowledge applied. That's what the Proverbs do for us. It tells us how to apply this. Yes, there's a vast difference, the Bible says, between the wise and the foolish. The wise receive instruction. When God tells us how we are to worship, the wise person receives that. The foolish doesn't. When God tells us how to have an eternal home in heaven, the wise person receives it. The foolish doesn't. Many people will read in the Bible how one is to become a Christian. Their faith leads them to repent and confess and then be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. They read that in the Bible, but it doesn't do them any good unless they receive it and act upon it. All the knowledge in the world will not save them unless they use that knowledge, unless they apply that knowledge, unless they act upon that knowledge. And that's true today. We may know what the right thing is to do, but knowing and doing are two different things. God says we must do the right thing. And this morning, if the right thing for you is to become a Christian or to confess wrongs, then God is calling you and encouraging you to do the right thing, to come as we stand and sing this song.